What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
I wish.
You wish to have the curse reversed? Go to the wood and bring me back a cow as white as milk.
These beings carry magic.
The cape as red as blood.
Oh dear, how uneasy I feel.
The hair as yellow as corn. The slipper as pure as gold. Go to the wood!
Good day, Mr. Wolf.
And what might be in your basket?
I must find that girl.
All will come to a happy end.
Not always.
A little bit of the trailer of Into the Woods. It strikes me that this film is a little bit like, well, what Disney was making its stock and trade for decades. They used to make the animated fantastical musicals. Well, this one is a musical and this one is fantastical. It's fantasy, but it's not animated. It's live action and it has some huge star power behind it as well. And it's receiving all kinds of accolades. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Tuesday afternoon, the 20th of January. After our review of the movie Into the Woods, it's our Christ in the Old Testament series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. We'll talk about Jonah chapter 3. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You say that if you're planning to see Into the Woods, as you say, be careful in the woods and don't forget to pack Luther's Small Catechism. What do you mean by that, Ted?
Well, you find this a lot of times in lots of different movies, but this one, it really presents itself that the concern, the major concern of a lot of the plot is based squarely in the second table of the Ten Commandments. So that's the fourth commandment through to the tenth commandment. Your interaction with each other as neighbors in your life. So all of the characters in this have these kinds of interactions. And you can start asking questions. This is like a fairy tale kind of thing. It's kind of like the Avengers-style fairy tale story, where you get all of the different characters all mashed together in one big plot. And you can start to ask yourself questions as you go through it. If you're thinking about Luther's Small Catechism, you can start asking, well, does Prince Charming lead a sexually pure and decent life? In what he says and does. Does Jack protect his neighbor, the giant's possessions? Does Little Red Riding Hood obey her mother's advice about staying on the path in the woods? So these are the kind of questions that can kick around your head, and that's why I kind of said it's really good to be thinking about, particularly in the case of this movie, Luther's Small Catechism.
So it is, am I right here, kind of what Disney did for decades, except with live actors?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, like every once in a while, they have a bit of a foray into having some live action stuff accompanying what they're doing. Song of the South was one of those, but this one is definitely one where it's like there's no animation apart from computer animation, and even that is it's very rooted in a live action kind of presentation. The story itself is not unique to Disney. It was originally put together as a Broadway musical, in 1986, and it's had some revivals along the way. So there's lots of people who are pretty familiar with it. My wife and I actually saw it as a play here in Regina this summer, the Regina Little Theater. So all over North America and around the world, you get people putting this together. In fact, there's even a children's version of it that's made that's only the first half of the story, and it doesn't get into what goes on in the second half of the story. So it's been around, but Disney, this is like fits, you know, this is like hand in glove, fits right in with what Disney does in a lot of respects.
Now, talk about that first half and second half, if you would.
Yeah, this is a really interesting thing. So people who have seen the play will know this. I mean, if your only interaction was with the kids' version of it, then it may be a surprise if you go see it in the theater. But this is a bit of a spoiler, so if you don't want to know anything about the movie before you go to it and you're listening to this now, you may want to pause and come back later. But what happens is the happy ending that normally happens in a fairy tale happens in the middle of the movie. After that point, then you have the complications of life that spring up out of the happy ending. So it turns out, in the midst of all of that, that little things like Cinderella's prince, played by Chris Pine, turns out to be less than charming. Having a baby doesn't fix the baker's wife and husband's life together. Their marriage doesn't get fixed by that. Having a curse reversed for the witch doesn't help her either. So, like, there are things where it didn't all pan out the way they thought it was going to pan out. And that's the second half of the film.
It has some really significant star power. I mean, this isn't just one star to attract the audience. This is a number of stars to attract all kinds of audiences. Talk about that, if you would.
Oh man, there's some really good performances. Actually, Meryl Streep was nominated a Golden Globe nomination for this, and I believe also an Oscar nomination too for her part in it, playing the witch. Now she has done this kind of thing before. She was in Mamma Mia in 2008, and basically Meryl Streep can do pretty much anything that anyone asks her to do when it comes to acting. She's superb. And she does a very good job in this particular movie, bringing a lot of depth to that character. There's also like Johnny Depp, who has done this kind of thing before too. He was in a musical film called Sweeney Todd, about a murderous barber. It's kind of a dark, dark, dark comedy. But like, they've drawn people who have done this kind of stuff before, and what they've come up with is quite good. Even the character who plays Jack, the boy, Jack and the Beanstalk kind of boy, is played by that Daniel Heddlestone, who people will know from Les Mis. He played the young boy in Les Mis, and now it's a couple years later, and he's in this, and he's great. So really, like, in terms of the musical end of it, they do a phenomenal job, and they bring a lot of people who have experience and also people who have a lot of star recognition. Emily Blunt is in it, and she can do all sorts of different things. Like, she's been in big sci-fi movies and comedies and dramas, and now this musical, too.
So the story is it like we're living in fairy tale land, a mashup of various somewhat familiar tropes of these kind of fantasy stories?
And this again is why the second table of the Ten Commandments is so good in thinking about this movie, is that all of these stories then are not disconnected. These are all neighbors with each other. So the Little Red Riding Hood, like Little Red, she is a neighbor to the baker and his wife in this particular film. And she is also a neighbor to Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk. They all live in a geographical area. They're neighbors to each other as people, but they're also literally next-door neighbors in a lot of cases. Like, they're part of a place. So that's kind of an interesting element of it. And that's what provides the mashup. And their lives are all kind of intertwined, just like our lives are all intertwined too.
So bring us back to the issue of, for the Christian viewer of this film, the issue of the Ten Commandments, of the neighbor, all of those things. How would you evaluate it? If you were taking a group of kind of the target audience here would be maybe what adults with not small children, but adults with kids. If you were taking a group like this, how would you either before or after discuss that issue of the Ten Commandments with them in light of Into the Woods?
Well, one thing is like for very small kids, this is like not going to be good for them. Like you're looking at teenagers, you know, through to adults, really, because some of it gets kind of dark. Like there are things that are specifically connected to the old Brothers Grimm fairy tales, like the comeuppance that Cinderella's sisters receive is literally right out of the Grimm's fairy tale. And that's a little more, quote-unquote, grim than most people are used to today. So really you're looking at, like, confirmation age and older crowd probably for this particular movie, which is fine. The thing that maybe looking at this movie, there's a lot of questions that are going to come up that really fit well into the catechism, but there are two big themes that are super important. And when you listen to the words, and here's the thing, Lutherans, they do like to actually listen to the words of any song. So here's a musical, and in the words of the song, you're going to hear certain things. One thing you're going to hear is a major thesis statement for the whole entire movie is, you decide what's right, you decide what's good. So like that's one part of it. Another important part of it is, careful before you say, listen to me, children will listen. Careful the tale you tell. So you've got two major things going on in that, and that is something in our particular society today that is very important. Who decides what's good and what's right for the Christian, right? Like why is your pastor, why is your parent, your mom and dad, why are they teaching you the catechism in the first place? You know, what validity does that have in your life as you grow up? Like, is it because it's right, or is it because they decided it's right? Is it because it's a good and right exposition of God's word for you, and something to conform to, and for all the benefits that will be blessed to you in your life? And also, you know, just the nature of teaching, like how it fits in with the role of teaching. And that can be also between friends, even as young people, because people are paying attention to you in your Christian life. And all Christians sin, but people are still watching, and they're listening to what you teach them by what you say and what you do.
So this is different than what we grew up on by way of this kind of genre of film, the fantasy with the music. It's charming. It has all those elements to it. This one has the star power. But this one sounds like it's deeply rooted in a very postmodern way of thinking about the life in general.
Yeah, it's a real product of its time. Like, it was written in the late 80s. So this is, like, right in the kind of heyday of postmodernism in terms of, like, the academic world, right? Like, this is, you know, really postmodern in a lot of ways. And it doesn't mean we can't interact with it as Christians, but when you come to the table, you need not to just take the medicine it's doling out. You need to actually look at it and say, what is it that it's trying to tell me? And do I agree with the thing that it's trying to get across? The other kind of interesting thing with it, and a friend of mine, another pastor up here, Pastor Rod Parker in Canada from Saskatoon, he read my review and he commented about it. He said, I appreciate the review. I'm not terribly interested in this kind of cynical movie these days. That was my issue with where it seemed Maleficent was heading. And we talked about Maleficent last year. I'm kind of concerned that the new Cinderella movie is going to go down this same way of thinking. My big question for movies these days is, what is wrong with fun? And really, there are a couple fun moments in this movie, but overall, it is kind of cynical. There's a bit of a cynical view connected to it. And that's something that people should kind of know going into it. if you don't like musicals, like, steer away, because this isn't just a couple musical songs along the way. This is, like, from beginning to end, almost like 95% sung. But yeah, there's a kind of a cynical edge to it, and that's something that is different from if you went back and watched like the original Sleeping Beauty or Snow White or something like that from Disney, like the ones that they presented originally. Those ones are less cynical. They don't have that kind of edge to them that this does. But this came from Broadway, right? It's a big Broadway musical.
Finally,
intended really for adults, actually.
Finally, then, is it entertaining? Can a conscientious Christian, in your opinion here, can a conscientious Christian watch Into the Woods, understanding the kind of worldview that it's rooted in here, and that cynicism, and suspend not only disbelief but perhaps moral concern to a sufficient degree to enjoy it?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I mean, like it's. I'm sure that there are people who are going to be able to do that. I mean, I watched it, and I enjoyed it. But my sister and her husband went to it, and they like to go into movies and not know much about them, and they don't like musicals. And that really, you know, that was like lights out for them. But I know that there will be people who will pick up on that cynicism and just that their life is too short, and they just don't care for that kind of thing. And they make the same decisions about what they watch on TV or other movies that they watch too. And yeah, there's going to be times where in your Christian freedom, you will also be free to say, nah, I'm not interested in that. I'm gonna pass on that. But for pastors, people teaching confirmation, families out there that are going through catechesis right now, if there's an interest in watching this, or if kids have seen it, you know, then it might be worth taking a look at it and thinking about it, putting your thinking cap on, and watching it through the lens of Luther's Small Catechism. And I think that way you're going to probably get a lot more out of it than you would otherwise.
Folks, you can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of the movie Into the Woods at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. He joins us every week for our Christ in the Old Testament series. We're going to be in Jonah chapter 3, finding Jesus in the story of Jonah. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
At Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, we are mostly looked down upon by cool people. They're always telling us that we take ourselves too seriously. That, apparently, is the uncoolest thing on the planet. We are theological nerds. We get more incensed by bad exegesis than a group of comic book fans who find out the hero was just dreaming. Some people want us to calm down, but we aren't going to. Redeemer, Fort Wayne, haven for theological nerds.